This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California, for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me in the chair, as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
Wearing my XPW shirt. I paid for this. I didn't get no freebie.
And we have a special guest in-house this episode, Mr. Dirty Ron Mikey.
Hey, what's crack-a-lacking, guys? You know, I met Earl at XPW. Wrestling's in my entire life. Comedy's something I grabbed onto not too long ago. But, man, you know, like, what a great place to be here at the Comedy Store. It's fucking legendary. So, thank you guys for having me here, for real. Like, this is... I thought I'd been in all the secret places here. No. I had no idea there was a secret door right there. That's crazy.
Oh, there's a whole third floor you haven't seen.
Oh, is that? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, only a privileged few have seen that floor.
Oh.
But I...
And Batista's dick, evidently.
Oh, I don't know about... They've seen my dick here a lot, but I don't know about Batista's dick. But I used to go to XP. The reason why you're here...
Yes.
Is because
my mom and dad fucked.
Right. About 30 years ago.
Something like that.
And then you came out like you were on a water park ride. I'm just kidding to you, Mom. I used to go to XPW shows back in the day.
Yeah.
By back in the day, I mean Supreme, the King of the Death Matches, Sabu, Terry Funk, Messiah. He's the guy who got his thumb cut off when there was a situation with Rob Black. And
bring that up later. I got a good story about that.
So, you know, I saw the XPW was back in the revamped XPW, and I saw you wrestle a couple months ago. I'm like, this guy's got a great gimmick. And I told Eddie, because Eddie takes me to New Japan shows and PWG shows, and I will get him out to an XPW show, because it's back.
Without a doubt.
With a whole new cast of characters outside of Sabu, and you know, Eddie's excited to see the violence, the extreme ways of XPW.
Yeah, without a doubt, that's what we do over there at XPW. You know, I grew up a fan myself. You know, I grew up a fan of the extreme style of wrestling, tape trading. I saw the old FMW exploding ring matches, exploding pool matches, exploding whatever the hell, tarantula matches in Big Japan, like all these crazy ass things. But what brought me to XPW was, I mean, shit, I was in high school when that started coming around. You know, ECW has started to wind down, but XPW was not only was it extreme wrestling, porn stars and shit too. Like, and now, like, it's crazy that sometimes I take a step back and go, I'm involved. Like, I see a promo with XPW logo on it, and I'm like, man, like, how fucking awesome, how crazy and awesome is that shit? You know, like, I don't know. It's, what a wild-ass ride it's been.
That's dope. I mean, I actually know you, too.
We met at Bumps and Bruises a while ago.
Yeah, I used to.
Small-knit community.
What's Bumps and Bruises?
So, back when I was working with this brewery in L.A., me being who I am, I was like, we need to throw a wrestling show here. And they're like, oh, okay. That's and then they brought in a crew, you know, some folks that run this company called Bumps and Bruises, and we just put a ring inside the brewery and had a bunch of people. Brian Cage was there. You were there. Juicy J from, what was it, 3-6 Mafia was there.
Oh, my God.
RVD was there.
That was crazy.
There was a lot of smoking in the back after the show.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, man.
I mean, because I remember when I used to go to XPW, I was like, there's no way I'll ever see more violence than this. You know, I was at the New Jack Vic Grimes scaffold match.
Yeah.
Where New Jack brought a taser out. And I think
New Jack, the realest motherfucker that ever did this shit.
Oh, I mean,
Don't take a fucking street thug and put him in a ring and be like, you know what? Make your own violence. Make your own weapons. Do all that shit, man. No, I love New Jack, though. You know, what a crazy character.
I met him at a comedy show, and he headbutted me. So
no shit. Not surprising at all.
I was doing well. I was the host, and I'm bringing up everyone. And New Jack, I knew who he was. I was the only one. You know, he's pretty, if you follow wrestling, you know, the bald guy with the forehead like Abdullah the Butcher.
Of course.
There's a Dark Side of the Ring episode on him, I believe.
There's the mass transit incident where he, you know, butchered some guy to death almost.
So many instances after that, too. He just, like, stabbed people and shit, like.
Beat up the older guy.
I'm glad, Gypsy Joe.
Yes. Yeah.
Gypsy Joe, whose gimmick was, I'm 72 and nothing hurts me.
Oh.
Put in there against New Jack. I'm sure in Tennessee on a Sunday with 37 people there. So New Jack was like, oh, okay, this old man, he ain't going to sell for me. I'm going to beat the shit out of him for real. So he's beating the shit out of him. And of course, Gypsy Joe, whose gimmick is, I can survive any punishment, just kept coming back and coming back. And New Jack was like, no, fuck you, motherfucker. You done, you're going to no sell for me. Bow, 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 bow. I don't know, like.
He's got real heat with a previous guest, Miss Jasmine St. Clair.
Oh, you do?
No.
Oh, New Jack.
New Jack.
Well, Jasmine, the only people that have heat with me don't matter. So.
Jasmine's a wild card. She was maybe one of the most entertaining interviews in the history of this podcast. But she's the one, frankly, who got me back into XPW. She's like, hey, they're back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it wasn't the first, not the first episode, but the first.
California in April.
Because you had one in Rochester.
They did that. I was not involved with that. I wasn't there for that one. They had like their rebirth or whatever. But that XPW was back for real in April when they brought California 16-man, one-night King of the Deathmatch tournament. They had some of the best deathmatch wrestlers throughout the last, 30, 40 years out there, you know, throwing it down. And, you know, it was such an incredible night to be a part of. And then to hear the reviews, like, I know, it felt like XPW was finally back. Then they came back in June, Night of Reckoning here in August. Like, XPW is back. You watch TV show?
It's not really well televised as to where to watch it, so no,
Fight
I
TV,
don't.
By the way, Fight TV.
Fight TV.
Which I was just on the roast of Ric Flair, so shout out to Fight TV. Yeah, but I want to tell a story, and we can edit this out if you're not cool with it. But,
no, it's all good.
I loved it because I got to see you as a fan when you had an angle with Sabu.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys, I don't think, had ever met before.
No, we have met so many times. There's a lot of history there.
But he did not remember.
Oh, no, he does. He's just kind of a jerk a little bit.
Yeah. Because he, gimmick.
Because he was late in traffic, and you guys had to go over your match. And the second he got there, it was neat to see you guys. I thought it was the first time you guys had met. Maybe he was on marijuana a lot of the time you guys had met.
I mean, you know.
Or maybe you were.
No, I mean, you know. I'm on a level.
It's all good. No, that's why I wanted you on the podcast. Yeah. And to see the angle play out after hearing you guys discuss it beforehand was really neat for me because I could see the fandom in your eyes of, I get to do something with Sabu.
On an XPW pay-per-view too, you know, like I've been connected with Sabu for almost like 15 years, you know, booking him on shows and, you know, just being around. But Sabu's somebody that not only did I look up to as a mentor and like an idol almost in a sense, like that's who I wanted to emulate. Rob Van Dam, Sabu, guys that like went out there and gave it their all. And you could tell when they're in there with guys you've seen on like big time TV, like Psycho Sid was in a ring with these guys. You could tell they were a little smaller, you know, than like somebody like Psycho Sid. So they gave somebody like me hope. Like, yo, this guy's wild. This guy's crazy. This guy goes out there and puts his body on the line. Maybe I could do this shit by seeing what Sabu and Rob Van Dam did, you know? And then to be able to work with guys like that, like what a dream come true. But yeah, my relationship with Sabu is a little wild because like he kind of treats me like a son or a nephew or something. Like, gives me a lot of shit, but you know, ultimately he's somebody that wants to see the best for wrestling, you know, cause his whole life has been professional wrestling, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he lives his gimmick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just to see the scars when he walked by me and he thought I was Vampiro and he said, how you doing, Vampiro? I'm like, I'm good. No one remembers my name. Ric Flair called me Ron.
Hey.
Hey, you know, it's not a bad
name. At least it was a male human name.
Yeah, right. I mean, hi, Jessica. Good roast.
Yeah, hey.
I mean, well, there were some girls at that Ric Flair thing that you had trouble deciding.
Yeah. Dude, when I saw you at Bumps and Bruises, you did a spot where you did fake blow off of your opponent's back.
Who said it was fake?
Well, I mean, I hope it was.
Don't ask Nick Gage. He thought it was real. So it was all good.
Oh, my goodness. And then you also, I think you pulled out Legos.
Yeah. You know, so that was such an awesome show. The LA crowd came out. They were fucking hot for that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really good night. And they made the, you know, good call or the mistake to put me on first. And I was like, listen, Marty, I'm going out there. I'm getting on the fucking microphone. I'm going to talk my shit. You know, and I'm like, my name is Dirty Ron McDonald. I came here to do three things. Number one, I came here to get fucked up at a brewery. Went over good. Number two, I came here to fuck somebody up. And I almost did that night. But number three, the most important, when I'm done with that, I'm fucking everybody's girlfriends. You know, so. when I first started saying that, it did not get over. Right. But now sometimes a couple of people are like, yo, fuck my girlfriend. I'm like, all right.
All right. Take Have you taken shit. Any offers?
I'm a married man. No, you have.
Yeah. The gentleman doesn't tell.
No,
right?
No decisions are up to me. No decisions are up to me in my private life. No.
The reason it was
a great show. I love coming up to L.A. It was a good show. Bumps and Bruises.
Well, the reason I brought up the Lego and the cocaine spot, I wanted to ask you, since you do so many death matches and stuff, what is the gnarliest gimmick for deathmatch that, like, for you? Like, the light tubes? Is it the barbed wire? Is it the fucking thumbtacks?
I mean, like, you know, so I'm 39 years old. I started wrestling when I was 16 in the year 2000. Got my license in 2001. You know, so, like, I've seen the progression of hardcore wrestling to deathmatch wrestling. And, you know, like, now I feel like deathmatch wrestling is popular because there's a huge void on the indie scene. Mm. Like, in 2019, all these guys that were, like, they had... You know, they were getting clout. They were, you know, like they were being seen. Like, they all got signed up by, I mean, AEW, MLW, the NWA. There's how many companies out there have wrestlers signed to a full-time contract right now?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So, like, it left this void in independent wrestling where who was left? Mm. Deathmatch wrestlers. They were left because nobody's signing us, mother crazy motherfuckers, right? But, you know, then it got to show, like, a progression in deathmatch wrestling because we were out there doing this shit so much and so often. Oh, what are you going to do? How are you going to jump up? How are you going to make the shit keep going, you know? But the gnarliest shit I've ever seen.
Not seen. I want to know what you've done.
Yeah.
Shit. I don't do a whole lot of gnarly shit. Like,
what do you mean? I saw you last week or 2 weeks ago face a fucking guy, probably, I'll guess, 100 pounds heavier than you.
Oh, wait. Yeah, almost triple.
6'5", yeah. A very large man. And. Big man. In my video, I had fans asking me, because I videoed you coming back to the locker room, you had, like, spikes impaled in your elbow. Yeah. Like, people are like, were those real?
Of course it is, but it's not, that shit's not crazy to me. Like, you know, barbed wire, thumbtacks, the shit that we all started with enjoying hardcore and deathmatch wrestling for has evolved into this glass all the time, glass sort of thing all the time.
They have glass panels that they put on chairs. And
all that stuff. And, you know, like, that's cool. And, you know, if it makes sense. But I think deathmatch wrestling, the way I enjoyed it was, it still always told a story. How am I going to beat up this guy using these elements to beat him up? Not just, oh, I'm going to take something, I'm going to take a weed whacker, you know, or I'm going to take a bat with shark teeth on it, go da da da, and beat you up. Which is, shark teeth is the craziest shit I've ever seen. Like, because why are you hitting a motherfucker with shark teeth?
Yeah. But that escalation happened in AEW too, where, like, and indie wrestling, where it's like, hey, we need to know.
If,
like,
you're looking at AEW for deathmatch wrestling,
I mean, in general, like, the spots got crazier and crazier because it became more about spots than it did storytelling. And, like you're saying, it feels like that's happening in deathmatch where.
Of course,
what's the craziest thing we can do, and it doesn't the story.
Of course, it is, because here's what ends up happening. Everything that I do, if I have a 20-minute match, everything that I do to the people that were there happened, right? Mm. But to the people that are outside of that strong little small bubble, the way they're exposed to it are in 3 to 5 second clips. So, like, what do you want?
Do you want the crazy clip?
Do you want the people that were already there to see, you know, some whatever, or do you want the potential world to have you go viral for taking this whatever the fuck to that, taking an actual saw to the head, or taking a weed whacker, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And that's unfortunate too, because it takes away from the story of deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah.
There is a story with deathmatch wrestling, you know, like I believe. And if you tell that story, somebody can follow along with that. And it's not just people beating the shit out of each other with whatever crazy sharp objects they can find, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, so what? Okay, so maybe not the gnarliest, but what hurt you the most physically that you've taken in a death?
Being married? No.
Hello. Hey. I've been there, bro.
Well.
I mean, have you taken the skewers before?
I've taken the skewers, you know, it's whatever.
The
but
skewers,
like,
look painful.
That's gotta hurt, man.
Dude, everything hurts, but, like, nothing hurts when you're there, okay?
So the adrenaline, yeah.
Andy, I'm sure you've seen this. Earl, I don't know if I showed you this. I jumped off the roof of the hardware store right next to my little venue in Ocean Beach last June of 2021.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was great. It was picture perfect. got great views of it. It was awesome. Okay. Same roof 3 months later in a fight with Nick Gage. And I got knocked off that same roof and the landing was horrible. And I ended up ripping my calf. And that was in September of last year. And I still haven't healed from that shit. So you're like,
An internal tear or like out exterior, like ripping the skin and all that?
Definitely not the skin. You know, and that night, I didn't even feel it. I went out to the bar. I was hanging out, doing my whole thing, whatever. It wasn't until the next day, I was like, oh, shit, I can't walk. I couldn't walk for like 3 weeks, you know, because.
Didn't get infected and all that shit? Or
who knows? I'm 39 with a six-pack, eight-pack on a good day. So, you know, like.
The joint, you know, or a blood.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm 20 miles from Mexico, so, you know.
Oh, good, yeah.
Tijuana's real close.
Go to Club Abuelitas. You'll find a lot about yourself there.
Yeah.
Club? Abuelitas. Just make sure they're. Yeah,
make sure you put their social media there.
Tag their social. Tag their social.
You can. Really grow up fast there.
This is still crazy. I'm in the basement of the Comedy Store recording a wrestling podcast right now.
How much pressure does Rob Black put on you guys to outdo?
Zero.
But like, you know, when I saw you for the first time in your angle with Sabu, you know, it was kind of a crazy card. I mean,
it was.
The main event with Schlack and against Big F and Joe. And I'm like.
Love that guy. I love both those guys.
That rivaled Supreme's matches in terms of the violence and the gore, and I'm like, that nothing's going to top that. And then this last card, the female match, the three girls,
was
the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
people have been giving me shit. I've been fighting females in death matches a lot lately in the last year or so. Sage Sin, fucking Sadiqa, you know,
the big girl. What's her name? I had a crush on her.
Mickey Knuckles. I love Mickey Knuckles. Ooh,
I'd hit that. She's married though.
Is she?
That's what her bio says. But believe me, I've looked into it.
Man, them crazy bitches, and I say that with the most love. Man, yo, they are. They'll admit they know they are crazy. Right? They put it on the line. And those women that night, I talked to them before and afterwards, and they knew the first XPW women's death match. Think about that. Sure, there have been intergender death matches a couple times. XPW, the first XPW women's death match. Lou Dark, Sage Supreme, Mickey Knuckles. They went out there. Not only did they live up to it. They did more than all of us knew that they could. You know, not knew that they could, but I know that myself, Schlack, a bunch of us felt that should have been the main event of the entire
100%.
Card. Should have been. Before the card. Looking at it post, like, whatever. But the women's death match, they have something to prove. They did that shit. They fucking brought it.
I'm telling
they
you.
They fucking brought it.
Halfway through,
they
I'm
fucking
like,
brought it.
This should have been the main event. No disrespect.
No disrespect at all.
The main event of, was it Willie Mack?
I think it was the three-way, yeah.
Was it Masada?
Masada, the new champ.
But the...
Masada, the baddest motherfucker in the deathmatch scene right there. You know what? There's one guy that if I'm ever lucky enough to look across the ring at Masada, that's going to day I'm going to question my life decisions of being up that point.
He's
a bad motherfucker.
He is legit, for sure.
Let me ask you this. Does it bother you guys when I would consider Brian Cage a mainstream wrestler. You know, he's signed with AEW right now. Do you like it when a mainstream guy comes in and kind of, is that taking a spot from someone in your guys' minds?
I'm not the guy to answer that.
Yeah, you are. You're
well,
FBW.
I mean, sure. But like, you know,
you got a problem?
There are guys that are a lot more regular on the traveling scene, you know, across the country doing the super indies or whatever. But you know, anytime that I see somebody that I know or like to be around, like I like to be around them, you know, I like to talk. So anytime somebody like Brian Cage or Johnny, whatever his last name is, Taya's husband, you know, comes around, man, you know, it's not taking a spot.
I can't keep up with what his last name is. Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, John Hennigan. I mean, right?
Johnny Comedy Store, last time he was here.
Yes, he's been a guest on this show.
I saw that.
When's the next one?
XPW? Yeah.
October.
Halloween in Hell 3, October 22nd at the Derby Room in Pomona. And you know what? I don't know what I'm scheduled to do, but I know that I'm going to be there, okay?
Oh.
And I know Schlack is in my sights right now because there's some unfinished business from California. You know, some people say we had match of the night at California. I don't know if I totally agree with that, But I tell you this, if there's never an opportunity for Slack and I to get back in there against each other, it's going to be something you better be fucking glued to.
Ooh. What about Sabu? Would you, I mean, I know he's...
Sabu's retired.
But, is he really retired?
No, he is. Yeah, he's
Ric Flair was retired.
Ric Flair was retired.
I feel you.
I was at Ric Flair's last match. 2 days later, he's in Puerto Rico doing something with Carlos Colon.
Without...
The fuck? It takes a lot to get me on an airplane and that...
Straight up, I would have been pissed, too, if I bought a ticket for that shit.
Yeah, I got everything for free on that show. I got the Earl Skagel doll. I got Ric Flair, Eric Bischoff doll. I got... Well, I did pay...
I saw your pictures. I follow you on Instagram.
I did pay $200 to Lex Luger for his doll because I was... And the guy's like, don't call it a doll in front of Lex.
Right.
Call it an action figure.
Mm. So I told all of my ex-girlfriends that it's not dolls.
Yeah.
Action figures, goddammit.
Well, I think Earl was asking that question because here at the Comedy Store, we see that too, where like a big name comes through and just bumps everybody. And, you know, some people are happy that that's happening because, oh, hey, they're here. But also there are comedians that are like, what the fuck? What about my spot?
Well, it would be like Brendan Schaub, I think. I don't know if that's who you're referencing. I have no, I have no beef with Brendan Schaub.
You posted a story of the person I was talking about recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a difference between she's past here. I mean, she runs the light more than Rodney King, but.
Jesus.
Yeah. Edit that into the reels.
Oh, my God.
That's going viral.
What are we talking about?
We have our first viral clip from this episode. All right. It's like you mentioned Sid Vicious, who's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He came to ECW, did an angle with the Dudley Boys, and I know there was a little bit of, we don't want a big. Like a corporate wrestler.
That's fucking stupid. And in that situation right there, how could you not want somebody coming in and shining a light on some shit? Because ultimately, here's everything. Here's what it's all about. It's all about getting yourself out there in as many ways that people can see you as possible. You know, say yes until you got to say no. Like, you know, I don't know. If somebody's coming in, if I got bumped by somebody, I'd say that with admiration. Like, I got bumped by this motherfucker or whatever. You know, like, to me, I'm sure if... It could happen a lot, you know, like for like 20-something years or some shit. I might be like, oh, why don't I have that spot? But I didn't have that spot because I sucked. Like, I didn't have that spot because it's not my spot.
Right.
I don't know. You know, people that are bitter about shit like that, just be bitter. Or just be comfortable in the fact that...
He is very bitter, yeah.
The ultimate warrior. I hold on to everything.
Well, then after you get in the Hall of Fame, you're going to die the next day.
So that was the ultimate warrior's problem. As he got in the Hall of Fame, he forgave Hogan, Jake the Snake, all these guys who fucked
let
him
it all
over.
Go.
And then he died in 24
His
hours.
His heart was like, well, we can let go now.
Trust me, I'm never going to let
dog,
go. I'm living forever, dog.
That shit... That shit hit me hard with the Ultimate Warrior because I was there.
I cried when Kamala died. I cried when Rick Rude died.
No. So, yeah, you mentioning that you were there and you mentioned, you know, getting bumped and all that stuff. You had a scenario where you were on Raw.
Oh, my God. Greatest night of my life.
Right? Getting
greatest night of my life.
The Splash Brothers. What was that about?
You got 14 minutes? I've timed this out.
I mean, we do. We're going to have to cut some topics out of the news.
Okay. So here's what's up. So when they book you, they go, all right, listen. When you get booked, get in your gear, go check in, go hang out by the ring, something, something, something. You'll get a tryout maybe. They might want to work with you, whatever, right? So I went to do the pay-per-view. Nothing, right? We hung out, nothing. We just get to eat the fucking food, you know? Monday Night Raw. Check in, do my shit, get in my gear, go hang out by the ring. All of a sudden, Arn Anderson comes over and he goes, all right, you two, you're working with Braun. You two are working with the Colon brothers, right? Mm. I didn't know what's going on. At this point, I'm thinking it's a tryout, right?
Yeah.
So Arn Anderson's like, all right, check this out. It was me and a black guy about my size. The only reason I say that is because they ended up making us brothers. But
yeah, that was amazing. The Splash Brothers.
Oh, that's believable.
The Dudley Brothers.
Like Billy Ray and Devon.
We were the second interracial tag team in wrestling. Brother tag team.
Brothers.
Brother tag team. So anyway, at this point, I think it's a tryout match. So they got me in the ring. Arn Anderson's going over our whole idea he had, me and this kid against Braun Strowman. And I'm not doing shit. I'm just getting my ass kicked, right? When you roll over, sell this way, all this shit. I'm like, all right, what are you? I'm just listening, you know? So at the end of this shit, I'm like, man, this fucking sucks. Like, this is my tryout. This is what they're testing me on, you know? But no, that's not it. When we are done, they hand me a script. Segment 10, Monday Night Raw. I'm like, oh, shit.
Nice.
We're on Monday Night Raw. What the fuck? Like, we're on Monday Night Raw, right? And I'm reading the script, and one of us gets to talk. So it's like, fuck, hate crimes are about to happen.
I love it. because need the mic.
I tell you, I don't care. I don't care what the fuck I had to do. I was going to kill this motherfucker. All these thoughts going through my head, right? And then they asked, they said, which one of you guys wants to talk? And he said, oh, he can have it.
Like, oh, nice. Thank God. See, no hate crime needed, man.
No hate. Well, I was ready. I was ready.
You'll do well in comedy.
Doesn't.
I'll probably get bumped for this motherfucker now.
Does intent have anything to do with it? So anyway, whatever. They gave me the script, all this shit, right? So here we go. We're leading up, right? And they go, listen, when you're on Monday Night Raw cutting a promo, because we're at the Oracle Arena. There's 18,000 people there. Like, when you're talking, do not talk into the camera. Do not. Vince McMahon hates that now. He doesn't want you talking to the camera. So here I am, you know, fucking, I'm about to pass through gorilla position, which is where Vince McMahon, Billy Kidman, Shane McMahon, Stephanie, Triple H, all these people are hanging out right before you walk through the curtain. And I walk through, you know, I'm getting all pumped up, right? You know, the thing happens and the camera turns on me and Byron Saxon says some shit. And what did I looked right in the fucking camera, right? Because everybody I ever saw connected with somebody, Ultimate Warrior, Hogan, Macho Man, all these people, how do they connect with you guys? How did they, to me, they connected by looking right into the camera.
Yeah.
You see right into their soul, right? So whatever they were saying, I believe that shit because I was seeing them say that shit.
Yeah.
I still do.
Yeah. Back in the day, they believed it because they had to, because you were in control of your own push. How over you got was however you got, and you got paid more because you got over. Yeah. Now, you just got to say your script, and y'all get the same fucking, whatever, guaranteed, awesome, great-ass, you know, minimum, but they don't have to believe in their shit anymore. Back in the day, they did. Mm-hmm. So when I got that camera on me, I'm on Monday Night Raw, I looked right in that motherfucking video scope, right? Right down that motherfucker. I said my shit. I connected with people, whatever. I got to be like, oh, right here in Oaktown. Crowd popped. It was dope, right?
Yeah, that was dope.
It was dope as shit. Afterwards, you know, we did our thing, fucking whatever the fuck. You know, I go backstage, you know, like, heads down. I'm like, you know, thank you guys. You know, I'm super, like, you know, whatever, trying to be fucking humble and all that shit.
Yeah, do the
whatever.
Handshakes to every single person in the room.
Not even. No, it was more just like I'm a pawn dipshit. Like, I don't even feel like I should even look up and say thank you to everybody.
You were enhancement talent, sir.
That's how I felt. So I went back to our changing area. I'm coming back to the position where we're all watching on TV, all the other extras. And I'm walking down this corridor, and there's like 40, 50 people in there. And at the end of the corridor, I see Vince McMahon walking my fucking way. Right? So I'm looking at this corridor, 40, 50 people, right? Big, long-ass corridor. We're in a fucking arena at the Oracle. I'm like, oh, shit, this is crazy. Because they told us, do not take pictures. Don't act like a mark. Don't fucking, you know, like, act like you should be there. Be professional, all this shit. And, you know, I want to listen. Except don't look down the video scope. It's fuck that, right? So anyway, I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to wait because Vince is walking this way. I'm walking this way. I'm going to stop. You know, like, what do I say? You know, what the fuck's going on? You know, all this shit. And then halfway, it felt like 2 minutes I was thinking all this. It was like 5 seconds. I look up. Vince is halfway down the corridor. And now he's nice. Looking right at me, right in my fucking soul. Well, I'm a ginger, so where my soul would have been. So I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, right? You know, I'm like, oh shit. So then I start freaking out. I'm like, how do I get out of this? Here's Vince McMahon walking this way. Oh my God, he's pissed. I talked into the video scope, all this shit, right? You know, what do I do now? How do I leave? How do I get out of here? And all of a sudden, then there he was, standing in front of me, 12 feet tall, right? And I looked up and he's like 18 feet tall, right? And I'm just looking at him. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, right? And I was like, I'm just about to get chewed out by Vince McMahon. And then he stuck his hand out. He was like, you did a great job tonight, son. You did a great job. Thank you so much. You know.
Nice.
And then I sucked his dick. But he didn't pay me no money, so I'm just here to talk about it.
Were there any girls running behind him?
Nah. Whatever. He grabbed my curly hair.
That's
like,
fucking awesome, though, man. You fought the system, and it paid off. And
Stephanie McMahon said the same thing to me less than a minute later. You know, came up to me, shook my hand, was so appreciative of, like, you know, like, who the fuck was I? I was just a jabroni jobber fucking on the TV screen. But it's like both of those people knew I felt like that they knew I was a lifetime fan. They knew how important it was to me, and it made me feel like it wasn't as important to them as it was any of their main event wrestlers they talked to. Like, that, and there will be no better night in my life. October 10th, 2016, look it up. Fucking 2 million people watch it on YouTube. Fucking, you know, the greatest night of my life. Because I will never get a better compliment in any field I ever do than Vince McMahon, the greatest to ever fucking do this shit, found in my head, found me. We were just walking in the same place, but he found me and told me I did a great job, you know?
Yeah, man. He heard that pop, and you also didn't botch any of the spots.
Not at all.
You did it all right.
Also, I hooked. So the spot at the end was my partner got chokeslammed down with his shoulders on the mat, right? Mm. I got chokeslammed chest to chest with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So Braun, when we pinned us, I was actually pinning my partner. So if you watch it, I hooked his leg.
No way.
Yes. Only so 10 people on the earth could see this.
Nice.
But I hooked his leg, 1, 2, 3, and then I unhooked it. So technically,
you win.
I'm 1-0 on Monday Night Raw. Undefeated, Monday Night Raw, fuck with me.
Fuck yeah. Dude.
How strong is Braun Strowman?
The strongest person I've ever dealt with in my life. All right, so like, when I get beat around, I like to like sell and like flop over like a fucking Looney Tunes character, you know? That was the plan that night. I'm on TV, all this shit, right? Flop over like a Looney Tunes character. That motherfucker hit me so hard. I hit the goddamn mat. I was like, I don't even know what's going on right now. You know, like fucking, because he was 308 or four, close to 400 pounds. He had been under 100 matches at that point.
Yeah, that was before he started
green as shit. He was a strongman guy. Stiff, but like, of course he was. Like, he's a fucking big ass dude. Like, you got to understand, there's a delicacy with wrestling.
Yeah.
You know? But what an experience. That's amazing, man.
And what was the follow-up? Like, do they say, hey, we'll call you? Is it like comedy? Like, you play a club and they're like, hey, we'll get back to you? Or?
So a couple times after that, I did some extra work. And when the opportunity came, I got an actual tryout match in front of, you know, all the...
At the Performance Center?
No, right. It was at a SmackDown, so I did another loop. It was at Staples. It was Braun and Brock. It was like September 2018. So it was Braun and Brock at Staples for pay-per-view, and then Ontario for Raw, and then Phoenix for SmackDown. I did a tryout, a legit-ass tryout as Phoenix SmackDown, and like, it was whatever. And I was like, man, you know what? I don't even want to relocate my life to Orlando or whatever the fuck to do that. I don't even want, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
There's many different paths, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
To get what you want. And ultimately, what do I want? To not work a real job.
I think that's the dream here in Hollywood, right?
Isn't it? Like, you know, Earl, man, you know, like, you live a life in this shit like that. All I want in all of entertainment is just to be comfortable enough to know the skills that I brought to the table were good enough to get me here, so I'm fucking here. And no matter what fucking happens, no matter what, you know, like, you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I hear you.
Can you imagine any of the three of us at a cubicle? 9 to 5.
I did it when I was younger, and I hated every second of it. Anyway, dude, if you don't mind, we got to go through some stories that are occurring. Top stories. We chime in if you can, if you want. You don't have to, but we would like to hear some funny anecdotes. Would be great. But the top five, number one right now. I mean, obviously, everybody. Kenny Omega's return at Dynamite. Was it Dynamite?
Well, yes, last Wednesday night.
Last Wednesday night for the trios match. I mean, you know, everybody knew it was happening. It was the worst kept secret in AEW, but I still got happy. I was happy to see him. I don't know. I'm happy to see anybody come back from injury.
I mean, I think we talked about it the last episode. I think they should have held off till the pay-per-view, because since AEW only does, I believe, 4 pay-per-views, you got to really go for the big bang for your buck on those 4 pay-per-views. I think they could have prolonged it. Almost like they did with Hogan and the NWO, you know, who's the mystery partner. Even though we already knew it was going to be Omega, they could have left little hints. Maybe you leave something that looks like the Fiend's gear in the locker room.
Teasers?
But even if even if the Fiend goes to WWE, like, you still leave a little clue, maybe.
Yeah.
Or MJF. You leave a scarf in the Young Bucks locker room to build it up. And yeah. So,
is MJF still not back yet?
He's still not back.
Okay.
But their pay-per-view is in 2 weeks, so
yeah,
I have
a little thing on it there. We'll get to that next.
So he's one more thing on Omega. He's clearly not in his shape because he was wearing the
sling,
which is fine.
Yeah.
So give him an extra 2 weeks to get in the shape he feels comfortable.
I read an interview with him, and he was like, you know, I don't even know if I can get back to where I was, and if I can't, I don't even want to be there. So, like, you know, I don't even know if the guy's all 100% in there with his head.
So give him an extra 2 weeks.
Yeah, give him an extra whatever the fuck he wants.
Because I think I said last week, you do it on Dynamite, it's like giving it away for free.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think AEW fans and even WWE fans would be like, I'll pay for the pay-per-view if Omega's going to make this wild return.
Yeah, it could have been a while. They had no other options. They weren't going to fucking put Brandon Cutler in there. And I'm sure they talked to Kenny and their doctors, and they're like, he's okay, but he's not at 100%. You know, so he can come back and do some stuff. I would have rather they waited. I don't like seeing him struggle, even though I'm sure he oversold it to kind of push that point that he's not 100%. So there isn't this big expectation on him, I guess. I don't know. But I would have wanted them to wait for a pay-per-view. I think it would have been bigger.
Oh, 100%. And, like, if they do 12 pay-per-views a year, okay, you know, wasted on Dynamite. But, like, since you only do 4, and, like, we still talk about the Adam Cole-Danielson debut because it was so well orchestrated. I think they could have done something like that at the pay-per-view in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, specifically, they moved the Moxley Punk unification match from the pay-per-view to tomorrow, Wednesday. This comes out next Monday, so whatever. You know, Dynamite that Wednesday.
5 days ago.
Yeah, 5 days ago. But, you know, the rumor is that they did that on purpose to kind of push MJF's return for the All Out for Punk.
I mean, it makes sense because the pay-per-view right now, it's a little lacking in interest. I mean, there's not...
The biggest match got moved to Dynamite.
And I'm an AEW mark, and I'm going to buy the pay-per-view, but I'm not overly excited about it yet. Like, there's nothing that's, oh, my God, I have to order it for this match.
Earl, do you get excited like that for XPW pay-per-views? Like your excitement for a AEW pay-per-view versus, you know, when you're coming to the XPW shit, like... What is the difference there?
I'm going to be honest with you.
Be honest with me. Yeah.
I don't know a lot of the current XPW guys, but I will say this.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm a fan of yours, but my new favorite outside of you in XPW, and I know you know who he is, but Santana Jackson.
Bro,
I've never seen him before.
He's great. He's great.
So when we walked in together two Saturdays ago, I thought he was a fan. Like, he's so humble and quiet. I thought, this guy's dressing up as Michael Jackson because he's big parallel with XPW. And when he battled, who did he battle?
Human Tornado.
He really did a great job of selling.
Yeah.
Not yet. I'm not quite there with, oh, my God, I have to get this match.
You have to watch the XPW TV. Here's why. A lot of backstory, a lot of all that shit, a lot of promos, a lot of building that shit up, man. XPW TV, everybody's got to watch that shit.
But going back to AEW, like, they, you know, this is where I think Tony Khan would benefit from a writer saying, hey, let's hold off on Omega.
Yeah.
This is why. A, B, C, D. Then we put in MJF, and everyone's going to watch that pay-per-view because you've got two huge names coming back. Now it's like, all right, well, if MJF comes back, maybe I'll buy it. But, you know,
yeah.
I just think Tony Khan needs to hire some creatives, maybe not even writers, but someone to...
Definitely not wrestlers.
Well, I don't know if you want a Vince Russo type where he was just a fan who was a writer, but I think he needs a creative stopgap to go, Tony, that's not a good idea. Right now, he's just a fan who's a billionaire who's like, I'm going to do what I want. We're going to have Omega on free TV for Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know. He needs help.
You gotta pop those ratings somehow, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, the wrestling show that we did, the hashtag the guys, they invited us back to that studio to watch All Out.
Hashtag the guys.
Yeah. It's a great podcast. It's air conditioned. It's very lovely. You can watch Josh Meyerowitz from Roast Battle eat nonstop for 7 hours. It's It's really unbelievable to see an autistic kid just pound food for
he
7 hours.
He ate at least 100 wings. It was insane. But I love you.
Josh Meyerowitz will be upstairs tonight. What roast battle, jumping up and down, and all that stuff.
Well, if MJF returns for All Out, I'm excited to see that, but also I feel like they waited too long. I mean, I'm kind of they waited way too long. And if he comes back, he's got to come back as a face because that
back as a face.
Yeah, that pop that he got from that promo.
See, you know, he's in that Rick Rude, I think, style of he can do both, but I think he's better as a heel. Like
he's definitely better as a heel. For sure.
Natural heel, and but I, you know, when I saw that the pipe bomb speech he gave at the forum, I had never seen a speech where he walked out, the whole place is booing him, and within 3 minutes of him ripping Tony Khan, he got standing ovation. Like, I've never seen a promo go from this to that. I just think it's a shame to use him as a face. Like, if they pair him with Wardlow, I'm
leaving. Everybody comes back as a face, you know, and then it subsides, and then everybody hates him again.
Yeah, I think he'll come back as a face against Punk, because I think Punk is going into this as a
cunt.
As a heel. Everybody hates him right now.
Including the wrestlers
just
backstage.
Well, always. I've never been a fan. I don't have a problem with the human.
He's a cunt.
Phil.
He's a cunt.
All right. Well, I've never met him. I'm not going to call him that.
I'll call him out. CM Punk, you're a fucking cunt. Right?
I mean, I met him once. He was kind of a dick to me, but like.
I mean, I don't like his character. I've never met him in person. I don't like his character. I might not like him in person.
You know what CM stands for, right? Chick magnet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
All the girls want to fuck me.
They probably do. They're
little
all
skinny
whores.
Heroin addict looking motherfucker.
All I will say is Punk. And then on TV, his quote was, you know, you can be the heart and soul. I'll be the dollars and cents.
Man, fuck like, that guy.
Anti-punk.
I flew out to Cleveland, Ohio to watch him get his fucking ass kicked in that UFC octagon for the first time. Me and a handful of wrestlers, I ain't going to name them, we all went out to Cleveland to watch that shit, man. We all believed in that motherfucker. Talk about some hype. I mean, you know, I don't know, man.
All right. All right.
Fuck CM Punk.
Fuck
CM Punk. Hey, come to XPW, bitch. Come see where the fuck real wrestlers be at, motherfucker. CM Punk. Come on. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to call out Joey Ryan, too, all right? Because Joey Ryan is somebody who needs to come back into wrestling for one reason and one reason only, for somebody to knock his fucking dick in the dirt for the final fucking time. So, Joey Ryan, I'm 1-0 in amateur boxing. You want to come back? Come back for XPW, motherfucker. You want a viral clip? Joey Ryan, I'm calling you out. Come to XPW. Let's lay some fucking gloves up because I'm going to knock your fucking dick in dirt so hard for you talking all that shit. People like you should never be in wrestling. We don't need a Bill Cosby in wrestling, all right? We don't
got that shit comedy.
Yeah, right.
Wait, is Joey Ryan the guy who grabs people's dicks?
No, makes everybody
grab
his
dick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get him into roast battle.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Joey Ryan, what's up, bitch?
I can walk him right. I could walk him right upstairs.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, all right.
I can make it happen.
Fuck, let's make it happen. We were calling you out, Joey Ryan.
No, I'm the bad
guy.
No, you're not the bad
guy. I'm the bad guy. This guy's grabbing dicks.
Also, yeah.
What do you think? The Me Too movement was started up in that show. and I'm the bad guy. This business.
Where's your curl, though, Earl? Where's your curl, though?
By Scott Hall?
Yeah, yeah.
I like the Kenny Omega speech he gave. I'm the best. No one in this room can beat me. The only people in this room who could beat me are dead.
Whoa.
Shout out to Ralphie May. 600 pounds, and people are shocked he died of a heart attack.
I wasn't shocked. All right, number three, we got another return to wrestling.
We still got a list to go through.
Yeah, we still got a list.
I will say, you call this. I'm impressed. I give you a lot of shit for your, you know, fandom at these wacky independent shows. This man called what was happening to the letter.
Yeah. Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling is back in WWE. And guess who he took out? Theory. Like I said. But, you know, whatever. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to come back and do the thing. No, he was in the way with Austin Theory. It makes perfect sense. I'm glad to see him back. I feel like the pop was good, but I feel like it could have been bigger if it wasn't such a random-ass surprise, because that's what it was. It was very random. There was no build-up, and from what I understand...
Well, you're welcome. Isn't that what everybody wants in wrestling?
Yeah.
Shit?
No, that's good.
You didn't see? Because you were talking about Omega. You're like, I saw that coming from 10 miles away. Gargano.
No, it was good. It was good that
Earl,
he came out
right.
of nowhere.
I'm going to talk about all this shit.
You got a show at the Dime Bar
in
20
minutes.
By the way, his show is going to be great. It's 5 days ago, so I hope you enjoyed it.
John, you look like you got something to say about Gargano.
No, I just think WWE is, they blew their load in their first 2 weeks. I think, to your point, we need surprises, but they need to be better. They had an open challenge earlier in the show. Why did they not have him come out then?
Yeah.
Can I give my suggestion?
No. We'll
let you guys all enjoy wrestling more. Shut the fuck up and just watch, man. Where's all them?
But see, here's the thing. Right? I can't shut up and watch because we're all fans. We're all marked.
No, for sure.
And like, I don't know about these guys, but I like a little buildup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what made, and I know we got to, you know, not rush through this, but like, that's what made the Hogan Sting angle so amazing. That first one, it took nine months.
More than that.
I don't expect that.
More than that. It took more than that because the buildup of all that shit, right, didn't pay off until Starrcade 97, and not even really. It paid off in fucking, but what was it? Brawl, whatever
Bash
the fuck.
At the beach or something.
Some shit.
But I mean, look at the NWO.
Super Brawl
that
in 98,
was,
yeah.
A nice buildup. What was it? Wardlow and MJF was, you know, a 3 or 4 month disintegration of their relationship. You know, with Gargano, it was just like, I like a little story behind
it. But does Gargano deserve it? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I like.
I'm not shitting on anybody. I'm trying to act like a fan too.
I liked him and Ciampa in NXT a long time ago. I hope that they end up doing something because I don't like Ciampa working with The Miz. So I don't know. I wasn't like super.
The
stoked.
Miz is the greatest to ever do
great.
This shit.
He's
right?
Great.
He is.
I agree. 100%.
Somebody that went from being one of the most annoying motherfuckers you've ever met in your life to understanding to getting kicked out of the locker room to coming back and being the best possible entertainer that WWE could ever ask for. The Miz is the fucking man.
Mm-hmm.
From somebody that I personally used to not like personally, now there's somebody, I cannot give more respect to somebody in the wrestling industry than The Miz. And anybody that ever talks shit about him as a person or as a wrestler, I will defend that motherfucker till the day I die. That guy is everything that the wrestling business needs. Mm-hmm. Somebody that came in as a fan, truly understood, got his fucking dick knocked in the dirt, and then came back and was the best that ever did it. Look at him. He's got a hot-ass wife. He's doing all this shit. He's a fucking
PR. He's gotten
PR,
all the belts.
Yeah, he's a PR fucking gem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's the greatest. He is.
Next up, we got, I put a little story. Long-term storytelling in the WWE. DX is running WWE. That's some long-term storytelling right there.
Yeah.
If anybody's been watching since the Attitude Era, Triple H is running the main roster, Shawn Michaels is running NXT, and he brought back Road Dogg. So, yeah, DX is running WWE right now. They won.
I mean, you know, time will tell if this is the right decision. I mean, I was a little disappointed Jeff Jarrett got let go or fired, or I don't know. They didn't really give a reason.
It's because he did that Ric Flair match. No, I'm just kidding. I'm making that
he
up.
Was awesome in that. But, you know, I'm not a fan of clicks running the whole show.
Yeah.
And this is maybe the greatest click of all time. But, you know.
Is it, though?
I think so.
Four Horsemen.
Well, but, I mean, I don't think the Four Horsemen, you know, the Four Horsemen, they rotated members more than Jeff Ross's pool parties. You know, you can't really name a Four Horsemen that was stable for so long. You had Sid in there, you had Mongo McMichael.
No, there's the original four.
Right. Fucking, that original. Yeah. So I don't know what Road Dogg is going to do that Jeff Jarrett couldn't. But
well,
maybe him
he's
going to
step up and go, oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know?
Well, I mean.
Yeah. Then he's going to make sure that you know your ass better call somebody.
I don't know if those are the creative minds. Triple H I'm down with, but I don't know if Road Dogg seems like he might be a little out of touch with today's current product.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
Wrong.
We'll see. Yeah, again, that's
you
I
mean
think
a straight white male from Georgia might not be up to it.
He probably doesn't even know who Austin Theory is.
Yeah, well. We'll see how it
sexy.
All turns out.
Kid's sexy, man.
He is. He's a good-looking dude. What can you do?
All right, well, you guys both want to fuck Austin Theory. We've established that.
What do you guys feel about the fucking punter or the kicker that fucking talks shit? What, Pat McAfee?
I like Pat McAfee. He doesn't know who he is.
You don't know who he is? Oh, man. Yo. How about Logan Paul? How do you guys feel about Logan Paul?
I'll give him this. For a non-wrestler, I think he has potential if
who?
He applied
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Okay, yeah.
If he applied himself.
Yeah.
Like if he said
he already does, yeah.
But I mean if he said I'm quitting the boxing and the YouTube stuff and I'm going to go to the performance center. Well, he shouldn't. He makes
keep
too much
doing
money.
It all. Keep doing it all, man. Bring all that. Bring all that. The star power. Did you? I'm gonna ask you guys. Did you guys like the Jackass match at WrestleMania?
It was fun.
I thought it was one of the best matches on the card.
That's
not
a
only
problem.
Best matches on the card, best matches that they ever did theatrically to get people outside of the bubble to watch that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
that's me.
No, he's definitely got something. He's got it. And, you know, the fact that he wrestles better than Dominic Mysterio still worries me.
Well.
But whatever. We'll figure that out later.
That's Eddie's son.
But, I mean, I think, you know, more than anyone listening or us, wrestling's on a half-time job. You have to.
Dog, you have to
time.
Eat, breathe, shit, and sleep wrestling
and
a little bit of
that.
Every day of your life.
Because he makes too much money. I don't blame him for.
He does, though. You're wrong. You're wrong. Like that guy, he knows what WWE will bring for him. And he, little known fact, he broke his fist punching a fucking, like, one of those punching bag games in Germany. Almost a year ago, whatever the fuck. And so his boxing shit is like on the fritz. That's why he came to WWE. Mm. But he cares because he knows what WWE can bring for him. I mean, look at him though. What a.
Yeah, I mean, people need to understand.
What he
that.
Does. WWE is an entertainment company. Like they're doing everything the absolute right way they should be.
Yeah.
If anybody gives them shit, doesn't understand what entertainment dollars are all about.
Yeah, people talk shit. I go wrestling. The Rock is the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Yeah, and he's still called The Rock because Vince McMahon is holding on to the dick and balls. Right.
All right. Well, we're not going to get to the
number four.
We're not going to get into the topic of the theme songs today. I had written that. We'll save that for another episode because you
got
to get going.
We got 10 minutes.
No, man. Yeah,
well, we
whatever.
Got one more. We got
you
one more.
Leave it 9:10.
9:10 is my heart out. Yeah,
we got one more story, okay. Which is I like the new cam. I don't know if you noticed the new camera work that's going on in production for Raw.
It is more realistic. Like you catch more stuff behind. You know, I do like that.
Yeah, like this Monday Night Raw. They started the show with. The camera guy kind of just running to the back, which and then after they showed a little brawl going on in Gorilla, then they did the intro to the show with the fireworks and the whole thing, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, but let's also acknowledge that it couldn't get possibly worse. Like we were living in a SmackDown world where they were zooming in every time someone got punched, and I wanted to throw my fucking TV out.
Yeah, that's done, Kevin Dunn. That's the Kevin Dunn special.
It couldn't have gotten much worse, but. I guess, great, they're working camera angles now.
Yeah, I liked also on SmackDown, like, Ronda just kind of walked by the commentary table, like, you know, like, she didn't even get an intro, she just kind of walked by, they're like, wait, Ronda just walked by, and then the fucking show starts, I'm like, I kind of dig that, it feels more unpredictable, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think now that COVID's over, they're taking advantage of the audience stuff, there was a long time, COVID's over, quote-unquote, but they're taking advantage of the stuff they weren't doing when they reopened last year for attendance, so... I mean, even what they're doing with Dexter Lumis, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff going on in the in the crowd now. People are fighting in the crowd. Rollins and the other guy that I goddamn hate. What's his name?
Riddle?
Yeah, Riddle. I fucking can't stand Riddle.
I love that
Bro.
Guy. Riddle.
But Lumis, he was at the XPW show I was at. He kidnapped one of the female wrestlers.
The guy with the fucking Hitler stash.
Yeah, but that made, like, it was weird how they did that. I don't know if Rob Black just said, hey, just go out there and take one of the broads.
Sometimes, I don't know if Rob Black plans shit or just happens on a whim.
Because it wasn't.
It's awesome. It's beautiful.
It wasn't in the lit area, so you just see this shadowy figure. Like, you know, he's a very big guy and he's good looking. He does have the Hitler thing going on. There's that.
So wait, that guy
I'm
is on Monday
I
Night Raw now.
Hitler.
Yeah, it's all good.
Is it the same guy, Dexter Lumis?
Yeah,
Sebastian Shaw.
Dog, you're talking gibberish to me right now.
I don't know.
I don't know people's names.
High as fuck right now.
I'm super high. Actually, I'm gonna give a shout out to Neil Diamond Cutter, who I just told.
What are you doing shout outs in the middle of the show?
Yeah, but yeah, Neil Diamond Cutter. I told him I'm on mushrooms at the Comedy Store doing a podcast. Okay. He said, I know what the Comedy Store is all about.
Are you doing cameos right now?
Yeah, I am. I said, give me some of the shout out. He said. Two in the hand is three in the bush.
Okay.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, it means you got your fingers in more than one cookie jar. We can't do like one.
Let's do the top three songs, right? Or what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Oh, I thought since we're on a time frame, maybe we could each pick one song instead of three.
Sure.
Two in the hand is three in the bush.
Guys on mushrooms, and we're trying to get a good interview out of this, out of control.
Go ahead, what, Earl. You start.
No, this is your show.
I've been keeping it together. I've been keeping it together.
After you and Jasmine, I may not be allowed to book another guest.
it's not true.
No, I'm just fucking with you, dude. What's your favorite theme song? What strikes
pro wrestling?
Like, was there one that grabbed you?
If there's nothing that motivates somebody to be like, it's just Stone Cold Steve Austin shit, man. But like, ultimately, everybody's theme song like made you feel something about them before you even saw them. You know, fucking I'm a Real American. You know, even the Pomp and Circumstance by the Macho Man, right? But like Stone Cold shit with a break in the glass, you're like, we in for some shit right now.
What about you?
I'm going to go with Razor Ramones. The fucking tire screeching, it always got me pumped. The second I heard it, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Didn't they do such a great job of giving you a visual for that 3 to 5 seconds before you saw the wrestler? Johnson.
Johnson's a genius. And it's a shame that he is not employed by any wrestling company right now.
Tony Khan.
That's what he embodied, though, was making you know who you were going to see in 3 to 5 seconds before you saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Razor Ramon shit. You're like, it's a street thug from fucking, you know, wherever the fuck.
Yeah, it was amazing. He was a genius. I'm way more into having Jim Johnson do music than licensing music, which is another thing I would brought up. But like nowadays, like AEW, they just license. They just pay a shit ton of money to get Wild Thing or to get, you know, Pixies.
It mattered when the CM Punk used Cult of Personality.
Yeah, that was a different story. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Jim Johnson. But anyway, Razor Ramon.
It's a tough one. I'm going to have to pick three, and it's one, The Ultimate Warrior. I don't think there's ever been a theme song that made more sense for that particular wrestler. It was just a frantic, you know, which described him. Was he looking at the mirror or something?
It's all good. No, it's a two-way mirror.
The NWO, I think. Yeah. Granted, it was a Hendrix song. And Rick Rude, when you heard that, you know, da, 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 da. And you know, you
felt
knew
something
that a man with a beautiful body was going to disrobe and for start sure. talk, call some chick in the front row fat, and you know, it, so
all you fat, you know, out
lazy,
of shape.
Out of shape, Jersey sweat hogs, keep the noise down while I show you what a real man looks like.
That's right, man.
So
right.
You're right, though. Like a good song, even before a word. Has been
fuck a song 3 to 5 seconds like embodying that, you know. I didn't mean to oversimplify.
Well, it goes with Stone Cold,
no,
like the broken
glass.
You
talking to yourself in the mirror. I you're looking over there. John's over there. I don't believe you can see him.
Yeah.
So I was just like, what the fuck?
But like you said, 3 seconds. That broken glass,
right?
Doesn't make anyone pop more.
Making you feel something before you see that motherfucker. Yeah,
yeah. Or flares. You know, that's an
same
old,
shit. It's iconic.
Even though it's a famous song from a 2001 Space Odyssey.
Right.
It still makes sense.
But it makes you feel something. Because that's what we are as wrestlers. We're doing action, comedy, improv, stunts in one take with an audience 360 degrees around us, right?
Yeah.
In our fancy underwear while we're sweating.
Yeah.
What other actors or what other entertainers are doing that shit like that? You know, like the shit that we have as wrestlers, like, I think it needs to be appreciated, you know, as entertainers. We do things that not a lot of entertainers can do, you know, in one take.
Absolutely. Well, dude,
On drugs.
Well, not all of them, but some of them. We've got wellness tests you got to pass.
Yeah, sure.
Wellness.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
You're not on steroids. What do you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, does XPW, they don't test you guys.
They have a rigorous drug test.
We get tested. If you're not on drugs, you can't be on the show.
Well, dude, you know, Dirty Ron, Mikey, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a lot of fun. Where can people find you online? Where do they go to see your shit?
Comedy shows, whatever.
Okay, you know, whatever. At Dirty Ron McDonald, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. But ultimately, go out and support underground entertainment. Like, all those people that are putting on shows, whether it's wrestling, comedy, whatever, in an underground fashion, trying to make something out of nothing. Like, those are the people that you need to support. Because ultimately, that's where dreams are cultivated and where they grow from. You know, like, man, I was wrestling in my backyard with fucking... fuck, hose, like, you know, rubber hose as our ropes.
I thought you meant whores.
Hose.
Where the hose?
You know, but like all that shit, man. You know, I don't know. we all come from something. So to support live underground entertainment wherever it's at, you know, because those are the people that, you know, have the building blocks to understand where they need to go from there, and they do that shit.
Fuck yeah.
Eddie, where can people find you?
Oh, hello. At RRBG Podcast. So you can hear me talking to, you know, Grammy Award winning musicians like Troy Sanders from Mastodon or 311 or Limp Bizkit or whoever the hell you're into. I probably talk to them. So come check it out at RRBG Podcast. Earl?
And I'm just at Earl Skakel, E-A-R-L-S-K-A-K-E-L, and Inappropriate Earl. I have had some wrestlers on the podcast, Roddy Piper, Eddie Guerrero Jr., I'm sorry, Chavo Guerrero Jr., and, you know, I've had
Eddie Guerrero Jr. is Dominic.
Yeah.
Right, my bad. I'm nervous right now, so.
sorry.
Chavo Guerrero Jr., and I've had Dolph Ziggler's brother, the Hollywood Hunk, who's done this podcast.
Yes, sir.
And I'm at the Comedy Store several times a week, so if you're local to L.A., let me know, and I'll take care of you.
Hell yeah. Follow us, please, at Store is War on Twitter,
please.
At Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram. Check us out wherever you can find podcasts, and check out our videos on YouTube.
XPWWrestling.com or whatever it is.
Yes, I'm on it right now.
What
it's
is it?
The XPWWrestling.com.
Fuck yeah.
They got a big show in October.
October 22nd, Halloween in Hell number 3. Right, XPW, if you don't know about it, it's the most entertaining pro wrestling out there. They give almost weekly TV episodes that get you all caught up. It's almost like a behind-the-scenes reality show about how to run a wrestling promotion.
And one of the best announcers, he's very underrated, Chris Kloss.
Joe.
Is an amazing...
Double K, Chris Kloss, dog.
Announcer, and I hope he gets back one day with his OG partner, Larry Rivera.
Chris Kloss, the man.
Later, y'all.
Too sweet. Too sweet.